Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, then you know Rocket can. Nice to have you here, the Tuesday edition. Let me tell you all about the program. Got a lot of NBA I want to get to. I've got some things that are off the board. I've got monitor number one, which is dark. What's up? Just looking at my in-studio TV screen. Laying it all out for you. What's cracking? Welcome to the show. Telephone number is 1-800-636-8686. 1-800-636-8686. Open phones to start. I've got my first interview coming up at 9:40. Ben Golliver, NBA writer for the Washington Post, joins me at that time. So you want to get in right now. Good day to get through. If you want to shoot me an email, you can do that. If you want to hit me up on Twitter, do that at Jim Rome. Email address, Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. Ben Golliver at 9:40. Top of hour number two, a Browns linebacker, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah. So we go back-to-back, 9:40, 10 o'clock. And then after that, we are open in hour number two until the top of hour number three. And then we have a L.A. Chargers offensive lineman, Rashawn Slater. All of that coming up on this Tuesday. Get after it. Get in. Phone lines are open. Do not waste any time with it. Let me start with the L.A. Lakers. They got rocked on Sunday. But the champs got off the mat last night at Staples. Big time performance last night. In fact, I'd even go as far as to say, or you might go as far as to say, they had a statement win. Statement being, we are back. Now, those are not my words. However, they are the words of Anthony Davis after he made this play to ice the game last night.
And Jokic is going to fire it over to Capasso. His block by Davis. Lakers are going to win it. Anthony Davis in the front court with three, with two, with one, and the streamers are coming down at Staples Center. AD, the defensive play at the end, and the Lakers end their losing streak, and they're alone in the
AD, what's good, baby? AD getting it done on both ends, and then he did seem to mouth, we're back, we're back. After that big block at the finish, a big-time finish to a big-time effort by AD. In fact, it was so big. Magic Johnson tweeted the following after the game, and I quote, Anthony Davis was huge tonight without LeBron and Dennis Schroeder, scoring 25 points in the Lakers' big win over the Jazz. So a lot of people were coming for Irv after that tweet, mocking Irv, clowning Irv, because, well, frankly, a lot of people have nothing better to do than clown Irv for his tweets. And when you do that, you just show that you really don't get it. You show that you've got nothing better to do than clown a guy who has nothing better to do than troll the rest of you. Like, when this guy tweets out a fact or a statement on the game that has absolutely no insight whatsoever, that's the bit. That's the brand. That's the joke. Have you ever seen how many retweets he gets? Have you ever seen how many favorites he gets as a result of that bit, of that brand? So he made that mistake. Or was it? Let me get to that in a minute. But he makes a mistake, right? Get over it. Because here is another truth. Dopes, most of the tweet was in fact accurate. In fact, almost all of it was accurate. Anthony Davis was huge. The game last night, which means tonight, was accurate when he tweeted it. And the Lakers were without LeBron and Dennis Schroeder. And Davis did have 25. And the Lakers did get a big win over a team. It's just that that team was the Denver Nuggets and not the Utah Jazz, like he tweeted out. Who cares? So what? So he typed the Jazz instead of the Nuggets. Maybe it was like autocorrect. Or it happens. It happens to us all. I just love the fact that he did not take it down. Like, he stuck by it. When you come with a take that hot, when you come with a scorching hot take like the one he thumbed out, you do not take it down just because you got one word wrong. You stand by it. You're going to kill this guy for one word. You're going to kill this guy for getting one word wrong. You're going to kill him for that. He got 20 of 21 words in that sentence correct. That's a 95% hit rate. How about we focus on the good news for once, not the bad news? I mean, hell, if a basketball player made 95% of the shots he took, he'd be the greatest player ever. And you want to come for this guy because he got a team wrong? Yes, he appeared to think that the Lakers had played the Jazz when in fact they played the Nuggets. At least he was in the right sport. It's not like the guy said, hey, AD was huge in that Laker win over the Yankees or the New Jersey Devils or Manchester U. I got news for you, too. I'm not even convinced it was a mistake. At this point, I think that Irv, or whoever is at the controls of that feed, put it there on purpose to try to hook people like me and the rest of you to get you to react. I'm on to you, Irv, or whatever intern you gave your phone to. I'm not saying you're a good analyst. You're not. You're one of the worst. But there is no way that you're that dumb with it. No one likes or retweets from me, or no more. Well, not that you ever got one. No likes or retweets from me, Irv, because I'm on to you, dude. I know what you're about. I know what that feed's about. And I'm not convinced that he didn't put the Jazz on purpose. Anyway, last night was not about Irv or the tweets. It was about the Lakers and how they showed up against the Jazz or the Nuggets or whoever the hell they played last night. Because that's a game they had to have. And they got it. They beat a hot Western Conference opponent, and they did so without two of their best players. Beating the Nuggets on May 3rd does not mean they're going to be holding the trophy once again when it's all over. But I'll tell you what it does mean. It's a reminder of why you cannot throw dirt on these guys just yet. Lose that game, and then everybody's got their shovels out. Lose that game, and everybody's talking about how Father Time is still undefeated. Because now he's kicking LeBron's ass. Lose that game, and everybody's talking about how starting a season 71 days after the last one ended was just too much to ask, especially for a guy with as many miles as LeBron, and a guy like AD, who always seems to get hurt, even in the best of times. Lose that game, and everybody is burying the Lakers. Hell, win that game. And there's still no shortage of people burying the defending champs. But that did not happen. Somehow that crew, who honestly mailed it on Sunday, came back with a vengeance on Monday. I'm not saying they can just flip the switch. I'm saying it looked like they did last night. They looked like a totally different team last night. They played with intensity. They battled. They looked like the Lakers last night. But it's not just about getting a win to move them ahead of Dallas in the standings. It's about the fact that they showed up with some urgency. Man, they were motivated. They were an actual unit. They knew they had to have it, and they got it. And by the way, did anybody really think the Lakers were just going to shut it down? Just quit. Just go home. Yes, they've had a couple of tough months. Yes, everything did not come together when AD and LeBron came back. But did you really think the defending champs were just going to shut it down, rip the plug, and shout 1-2-3 Cancun when they broke the huddle? I mean, come on, man. I know they're in fifth. I know they're only a game ahead of having to play in the play-in tournament. I know they're pissed about having to play in the play-in tournament. Just like every other team that's in sixth, seventh, and eighth is pissed about it. I get why they are. Before this year, if you finished in 7th or 8th, you would wrap up the regular season, go into the first round of the playoffs, you'd already be in. Now you have to enter a tournament for the right to enter something that in years past you were already in. That's more work and more stress on top of what is already a really difficult season. I know why they're pissed. Except crying about it's not going to help. Because that play-in tournament is not going away. And despite LeBron trying to break off whoever came up with that idea, nobody's getting fired over it either. If being the defending champs and having to play in the play-in sucks, big dog, embrace the suck. Because you know what would suck even more? Missing the playoffs altogether, especially after you made it sound as if you running back or running it back was a mere formality after you and AD came back. That's obviously not the case. But last night was evidence that it is still too soon to bury you all. Just know everybody's got their shovels out. Trust that. Everybody except Irv, who is still celebrating your enormous win over the Steelers last night. He's playing, y'all. Nobody is that oblivious. Well, except RG3. RG3 is definitely that oblivious. RG3 with an all-timer. I've got that coming up a little bit later on. 1-800-636-8686 is your telephone number. In addition to that, RG3 with an all-time take. I want to talk about Steph. Steph Curry, I mean, there's being on one, there's being on a heater, and then there's doing what Steph's doing right now, which is something he's never done before. And that's saying a lot, given who he is. I want to discuss that a little bit later on. I want to talk about a golfer that you may or may not know about. A golfer that you may or may not have bet on over the weekend. A golfer who is paying off bets that he could not cash for you. Pretty good story. I've got that pretty good story, and then I've got arguably the worst story ever. Felix Verdejo. I got into this briefly yesterday with Chris Mannix, but this is a horrific story, which I want to talk about. Once again, telephone number is toll-free, 1-800-636-8686. You want to hit me up there. If you want, go ahead and hit me up on Twitter, at Jim Rome. The email address is Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. Coming up later on this hour, I've got Ben Golliver, Rashawn Slater of the Chargers coming up in hour number three. And if you want to get into the big story off the weekend, more on Aaron Rodgers. Still waiting to see who's going to blink there. Hey, Rome. 2020 was an excellent year for me, and I've enjoyed my time in L.A. with the Lakers and the Dodgers. Regards, the asterisk. No one's hanging an asterisk on anybody. Not the Lakers, not the Dodgers.
For real.
For real, man. I'm not even saying the Lakers are done, nor am I saying they're back. I'm saying they had to have that last night. They had to have it last night, and they got it last night. Question is, where do they go from here? This much is assumed. There seemed to be this sense that, hey, if we get LeBron back and we get AD back and we're healthy, we're still the team to beat. Yeah, well, they've got him back, and they're not healthy, and they're not gelling, and they might not get Schroeder back. And right now, they're not the team to beat, but they did make a statement of sorts last night. We're not buried these guys yet.
Whoever came up with that need to be fired.
Whoever came up with that bleep needs to be fired. First of all, no one's getting fired. Second of all, that thing's not going away. But thirdly, I understand why he's pissed. Again, if normally you get in for being a 7 or an 8, and then you're a 7 or an 8, and you're not in, that would piss you off. They're taking something away from you that you already have. Of course that would make you mad. Then again, if you don't like the play-in tournament, don't be in the play-in tournament. And one more side note. I've got a story involving an order at Starbucks. You ever get in line and you know what you want and it's really not that involved? In fact, it might even be like just a pike, a drip, no room. But there's always that a-hole at the front of the line. And that guy's got like 8 different orders or 8 different orders for each order. A barista had finally had enough and posted a pic of one of the biggest D-bags in the history of Starbucks. And it went viral. And we will get into that too. John in New York tweets, getting names right are not important. Signed, Jeff in Richmond.
Rogan Lowe.
At Squirrel 2 tweets, how dare Irv disrespect the Jazz like that? Yours, Rome's dad. Listening to jazz while antique hunting with Van Smack. Old man didn't care. Not only did he not care, that was his idea of a good day. bumping old school horrible jazz while dragging my ass antiquing after making me shovel horse crap and fix fences. Things that we were not good at. Although I did get really good at shoveling horse crap. So good that he promoted me to shoveling dog crap. Let me tell you something, I earned that allowance back in the day. When we come back, an open segment, 1-800-636-8686. It is Small Business Month, and Dell Technologies and Windows are celebrating your unstoppable drive. Save up to 45% on powerful PCs with Windows 10 Pro to work from anywhere, and top monitors and docks for the ultimate business setup, all with easy financing options through Dell Financial Services. Speak to a Dell Technologies advisor who can help you find the right business tech, server, storage, and cloud solutions at 877-AS-DELL. That's 877-AS-DELL for Small Business Month savings, 877-ASK-DELL.
You're listening to The Jim Rome Show.
I know it's only Tuesday, but if you're looking ahead to the weekend and you're looking for something to do, I got it. Saturday, for instance, is a big day of sports on CBS, getting underway at 1 Eastern and 10 Pacific with the National Women's Soccer League Challenge Cup Final. And then at 3 Eastern, 12 Pacific, it is off to the track, the golf course, where some of the PGA Tour's best are on the tee, competing at the Wells Fargo Championship, all coming up Saturday on CBS. Hey, Jim. Why did you turn off that amazing jazz? We were really enjoying it. Regards, absolutely nobody. Again, it's not even like that smooth jazz that maybe you and yours get down to. Yeah, it's not like that. I wish it were. If the old man and I were antiquing to that, it might have made that a little bit more tolerable. No, it was that. It was crap. But as he made the point to me at that time, hey, when you get your own car, when you get your own kids, you can listen to whatever the hell you want. I said, man, I can't wait. Long before I ever heard that phrase, can't wait, I was saying, can't wait.
Can't wait.
So that's what I did. As far as Irv goes, listen. When you have a guy like that, and he's got a Twitter feed like that, and he's tweeting like the most obvious, innocuous tripe ever. You have to assume that the guy is in on it, right? There's no way that guy is tweeting things like that. It seems to me whoever has that phone, whether it's him or some intern or somebody, they all seem pretty self-aware, right? They seem pretty self-aware that the dumber the tweet, the more retweets he gets. The dumber the tweet, the more favorites he gets. It seems to me. So you might ask yourself, yeah, but why? Why does that guy need that? Why does that guy need to amuse himself like that? I really don't know. Why does that guy even need to be on Twitter? It just seems to me when I see a guy like that miss completely on who his team played the night before, it seems to me he probably did that on purpose, or whoever did it on purpose. So, no retweets from me, Irv. No likes from me, Irv. No responses from me, Irv. No replies from me, Irv. Because I'm on to you, dude. I know what's up. All right, so something that happened yesterday, and I just want to reset this because I'm getting reaction to it. Somebody called the program yesterday, Mark and Humboldt. And Mark and Humboldt hit me up and was talking about how I'm going through a tough time. My dad is very ill. He's lost a lot of weight. He won't eat anything. However, we've been listening to the program. And because we've been listening to the program, we found out about Old Trapper. Now, me and my man get our grub on as I lay in bed with him and listen to the program. Maybe you heard this phone call.
So my dad is 72 years old, had a stroke, lost the use of his legs, for diabetes. So he's been in bed for 4 months, and he went from 220 to 120. And we couldn't find a reason to get him to eat. But I lay in bed with him, and we listen to your show, and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go down to the store, and I'm going to get a bag of Old Trapper. Sure enough, we eat a bag of Old Trapper every single time I lay in bed with him and listen to you. That's the only thing he eats.
All right, so to me, that was pretty heartwarming. Sad. Very sad. But the guy made a point of calling because he said, I got something positive from it, from you, from the show, from Old Trapper. However, a lot of you ghouls did what you ghouls did and do, and it's become a thing yet today. In other words, that call jumped today, so let's go to the phones. Now, this guy is on the watch list, has been on the watch list. I've got no reason to believe he's going to get off the watch list, but maybe today's the day. Maybe finally. The watch list means the Smackoff is coming up at some point this year, and it's invite only. If you're in, you're in, or you might be on the watch list. That means we're watching. That means you're very close to getting in. You just haven't gotten over the hump yet. Today might be the day. Johnny Scabs in the D. Johnny, what's going on?
What's up, Jimmy? Hey, yesterday that maniac called the jungle and claimed Old Trapper beef jerky saved his legless father's life. You know, Billy Mays cutting a boat in half and putting it back together with Flex Seal thinks this sales pitch is a little over the top. The next time you need some free product, how about you leave your old man and his stumps out of it? Just because Dad sucked down too many 72-ounce Big Gulps, we're supposed to feel bad? I'm not going to sit here and be remorseful for someone that earned a handicap placard through type 2 diabetes. Better yet, I want to know why you're crawling into bed with Dad. Are you eating 10,000 calories a day, too? I'm guessing you cure your blues with an Arby's 5 for $5 and a plate of mashed potatoes with ranch dressing. Unwore laying in bed all day with your dad eating...
That's not a good call. No.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
Scabs. Killing a guy for being in bed with his sick dad is not getting you off the watch list into the smack off. Why would I reward a call like that? Why would I reward behavior like that? Why would I reward a take like that? And on top of that, I'm not even sure it's accurate. Mark and Humboldt said, my father had a stroke. He didn't say that he had diabetes. He also said he lost use of his legs. He did not say he lost his legs. So for you to come in here and talk about his dad being, quote, stumpless and accuse him, did you say weighed 1,000 pounds and he got in bed with him too? Or no, 1,000 calories, 10,000 calories a day, whatever it is, Scabs, it seems to me none of it was accurate. And basically you're just killing a guy for having really bad, bad luck and misfortune. Hey, oh, that was pretty funny, Scabs. This guy's dad lost 100 pounds, nearly lost his life, lost use of his legs. This is an adult in bed with his elderly parent who's sick, and you think that's funny. You think that's a way to get you into the smack-off, right? First off, you're off the watch list now. I don't need to watch you any longer, Scabs. And number two, bro, there's bad form, and then there's bad karma. You coming on this show, bro, and saying something like that makes me wonder if, in fact, somebody in your family is not going to lose use of their legs, if not the legs themselves. Tell you what, bro, man. I don't know what's going on in your family, and I don't want to speculate, and I don't want to wish any ill will on anybody. I just hope that you are not rolling your pops around because he lost use of his legs because he suffered a stroke. I don't know, man. There's already so many things in life that you cannot control, right? There are so many things in life that are out of your control. I know really, really bad things that happen to really, really good people. So would it not stand to reason that really bad things might happen to really bad people? Scabs, I'm not saying you're a really bad dude. I'm saying that's a really bad take. Karma, bro. There's bad form, and then there's bad karma. And I want to make that very clear. I'm not saying you're a bad dude. I'm saying that's a really crappy take. You're taking a run at a guy whose dad is really sick, and he's lying in bed with him. An old trapper and this show are keeping both of them going. And you think that's a reason to pile on. It's not getting you in the smack off, dude. And it could get you something much worse than not getting you an invite. Come on, man. I would tell you to do better, but I don't think you can. I know you're off the watch list, though. Good news, bad news. Bad news is you're off the watch list. Good news is there is none. Come on, Scabs. When we come back, Ben Golver joins me. Stucknut says, put Scabs on the botch list. Sam in Grand Rapids, you're an idiot and an a-hole, Scabs. Yank him off the list, Rome. Oh, it's done. It's done. No. Bro, you're off the watch list, and you're this close to getting blocked. And we almost never, ever block anybody at all. The Rooter Tutor tweets, there is a difference between having a take and being a D word. War Scabs getting scrubbed. That's what I'm saying, man. There's bad form, then there's bad karma. There's being a bad guy, we're having a bad take. I'll let you decide. You tell me. Bad guy or bad take? Definitely a bad take. I don't know Scabs well enough to know whether or not he's a bad guy, but I know a bad take when I hear one, and that was a really bad take. Bro, no one's laughing. I don't know if you're a bad guy. You're definitely a look-at-me guy. Yeah, I'm going to do this and just stand back and have everybody look at me and react to me. Personally, Scabs, I got better things to do than pick at that Scab. I'm just not doing it, dude. All right, when we come back, we'll talk some NBA. Ben Golver joins me next. Phone lines are open, 1-800-636-8686. Do better than Scabs. It's not hard, man. The bar is not that high. Time for a sports update. Here's the very latest.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
So if you want to react to what you heard last segment, you go right ahead. You know where to find me. I think you already know where I come out on this. 1-800-636-8686. All right, as promised, we are joined right now by a national NBA writer for the Washington Post, host of Greatest of All Talk, an NBA show, host of Open Floor Podcast, friend of the program, and the author of Bubble Ball. It is out today. Ben Golver is my guest. Ben, it's good to have you back. How are you, Ben?
I'm doing great, Jim. Thanks so much for having me.
Ben, today is the day. Bubble Ball finally drops. So let me first ask you, what kind of emotions are you feeling right now? It's your first book. It's out in the world. Are you excited? Are you relieved? Is it something else? What's going through your mind?
No, it's relief, man. This was an absolute grind. You know, I lived in Disney World for 93 days, 92 nights, and yes, we were all counting during that experience, right? I mean, it was not easy. The restrictions, the health protocols, you know, we couldn't drive anywhere, really. You know, couldn't go anywhere other than to the gym to watch these playoff games. And I threw myself into it completely. I took 1 week off after the bubble and I immediately started the book writing process. And, you know, it's pretty much carried me to this day. I mean, there's always something to do when you're putting together a book. So for me, it's just almost a year's worth of work coming together into a single project. It's the biggest thing I've ever done, and I'm feeling great about it.
All right, so Ben, talk about the process. You just mentioned it, but you also had a really interesting Instagram video where you laid out how you wrote that book so quickly. For instance, how many words did the publisher expect, and when did they want it? What was that process?
Oh, man, so I agreed to write 90,000 words, and I basically had 2 months to do it. So you pencil it out. That's 1,500 words a night. I was pretty much grinding from basically 7 p.m. to midnight almost every night, still trying to cover the NBA as it was unfolding, you know, this season, and just basically treating this like a moonlighting job. You know, thankfully, I made it through in one piece, and I'm really happy with how the book came out. Look, it hits a lot of the major themes 2020 was one of the most important years in NBA history when you're talking about the China controversy with Hong Kong, the shutdown because of the pandemic, Kobe Bryant's tragic death, and, of course, the comeback at Disney World, right? So I touch on all that stuff, the business implications, the public health stuff. It's all rolled into one, the social justice activism. There's layers to this book, although, of course, it's a basketball story first.
Ben Golliver is joining us, the author of Bubble Ball, and that book is out today. Ben, something else you said, that the bubble is for grinders. What do you mean by that, and then what kind of a toll did that take on everybody within?
Well, just look who was left standing, right? I mean, it's LeBron James, Jimmy Butler, Jamal Murray. I mean, the kinds of players who succeeded there are guys who are just completely devoted to their crafts. They just want to have basketball first and nothing else, right? I mean, they were able to adapt to living in these Disney World hotel rooms, which are typically for, like, you know, families of four coming down in the Honda Odyssey minivan to get to Orlando for a summer break. I mean, that's where these guys were staying, right? So it was a big adjustment for their lives. It was tough on me too, Jim. You know, I put on weight. I wasn't sleeping well. I was really anxious. I felt isolated from my family. I mean, all those feelings came together. And so you know, that's why when you get to the end of it and the Lakers win the title, you know, they're popping champagne, but they're yelling out, "We're free, we're free." They're not yelling out, "We won the title," because they all got the earned the right to go home. So it was kind of like half a New Year's Eve celebration, half college graduation. You know, they were very glad to have the trophies, but also really glad to hit the first flight smoking.
Ben Golliver is joining us. Hey, Ben, to that point that you said, I gained weight, I was anxious. I remember when you were there, you and I were talking about the physical isolation and the initial quarantine. Like, what was it like when you were trying to get your 10,000 steps in the hotel room, physically, mentally? How big of a toll did that take on you personally?
No, I mean, Jim, that's become my legacy, man. I've been covering the NBA since 2007. All anybody wants to talk about is me walking back and forth in my hotel room, man. I'm sure you could probably relate. Sometimes every once in a while a video comes out, it sticks with you. I mean, that's my video. 8 steps at a time to get like 8 or 9 miles in my hotel room. I'm sure they probably had to change the carpet when I was done with it, you know, probably put a few footholds into it. But look, you know, that was all part of the plan. I didn't want my life to change all that radically when I went down there. And so you had to find ways to make compromises. The food was a compromise too. I mean, I still have nightmares about that brown veggie meatloaf with the brown sauce, you know, just looking like a fat brick. I mean, I could, you know, these were things that are going to stick with me for a long time.
I was going to say, what was the food like in the bubble and how was your life away from the court?
Well, about halfway through the bubble, they opened up the room service menu, and that was a godsend, right? Because at least you could get Caesar salad, soups, you know, the typical stuff that you would expect. I mean, off the court, it was just Groundhog's Day. You know, every day was the same. We're taking circles, laps around the, you know, around the campus, getting our steps in 95-degree heat. You wave at Eric Spoelstra when he walks by. You wave at Brad Stevens when he walks by. And then you get to the gym and watch basketball. You know, on a typical day, I might see Giannis, James Harden, Russell Westbrook, Chris Paul, LeBron, Anthony Davis, Damian Lillard, Carmelo Anthony, all in an 8-hour period. You know, that's 8 Hall of Famers fighting for a title in the same day. I don't think we're ever going to see that in the same place ever again.
Ben Golliver is joining us. His book, Bubble Ball, is out today. Yeah, but in a typical day, Ben, you might also see Kawhi Leonard driving a golf cart in circles in a parking lot. What was the context for that, and what did you make of that scene?
Well, when the Bucks had their shutdown, all these players were like, well, what do? We don't have practice. We don't have games. And they were trying to figure out how do they put the bubble back together, right? And so these guys were dealing with free time for the first time in more than a month. So, yeah, Kawhi Leonard's doing, you know, doing donuts in the parking lot like he's a 75-year-old senior citizen, right, in a golf cart because they can't drive cars. They can't go anywhere. You got Dwight Howard just kind of hanging out at a bus stop. No bus is showing up. He's just sitting there, you know, on the phone. I mean, these guys were really trying to find ways to, you know, piece this bubble back together. LeBron and Chris Paul wound up calling Barack Obama for help. Michael Jordan got involved. I mean, that was a really tense moment in the bubble. And I lay out that scene kind of minute by minute in terms of what the Milwaukee Bucks were, you know, planning and how they executed it during their protest, which I think made national news everywhere.
Ben Golliver joining us. Also, one more thing. What about JaVale McGee fishing from a dock? Now, JaVale is JaVale. JaVale will do JaVale things. I mean that in the best way possible. When you see something like that, did that seem totally normal in that moment, or did that always seem a little bit surreal?
No, it was very surreal. I mean, guys were fishing everywhere. I was fishing, Jim. I never thought I'd be out there fishing too, but you know, that was the world there. Very limited options. You know, they threw a pool party one time. I don't think anybody showed up. I mean, they were trying whatever they could to keep these guys busy. But when you're in a Disney World campus where you've got four layers of security, Disney security, NBA security, local police, sheriff's deputies, I mean, your options are very limited. And I try to get into the mental impacts of that. You know, we heard from players talking about how challenging it was, really how it tested them. And some guys were feeling depressed and isolated. I mean, that was all part of the experience, too.
We're talking to Ben Golliver. His book is out today. You know, Ben, so there was actually basketball that was played and some really good basketball. Lakers end up winning that whole thing. What about the ring and LeBron? What do you think that ring means to LeBron? Where would he rank it among the four that he has right now?
Well, I think 2016 is always going to be the biggest, right? When you're talking about quality of competition, when you look at how good that Golden State Warriors team was, 73 wins, but LeBron has said it's one of his favorites and one of the most challenging ones that he's won. And to me, the key is no asterisk, right? I mean, they went 16-5 through the playoffs. He was phenomenal. Anthony Davis was phenomenal. And you look at the moves that teams made in response to the bubble, it just validated the whole bubble experience. You know, the Sixers, the Rockets, the Clippers, the Bucks, they all made big changes in response to what happened at Disney World. So to me, that's why that title counts, and it should be remembered as quite the achievement. I mean, you know, for LeBron, he loves playing to the crowds, and, you know, there was not much crowd there, you know, Jim, when they won the title.
Yeah, I do know what you mean. That's actually awesome. How about that moment where he was on the phone with his mom, Gloria? How would you describe that scene? What happened there?
It was absolutely beautiful. I mean, it was so humanizing. She couldn't be down there in the bubble, and so, again, it's just this isolation feeling that everybody feels that's separated from their families. He calls her up and basically says, "Hey, Mom, are you proud of me?" And she's like, "Are you kidding? Come on, LeBron, this is title number four. Of course I'm proud of you." And I'll never forget that. I mean, cigar in hand, champagne right by his side. I mean, it's just one of those just really surreal celebrations. I mean, typically you're in an arena with 20,000 people chanting your name. Here you have to FaceTime Mom because there's nobody else around.
Ben Golliver joining me for a few more moments. His book is out today. Ben, so when you look at the current season and you see how the playoffs are shaping up now, how different are these playoffs going to be compared to the playoffs in the bubble? Obviously differences, but how different?
Totally different. I mean, you're not going to have one single site, right? So guys are flying around everywhere. You're going to have the big arenas rather than the small arenas they use down in Disney World. And you're going to have potentially guys missing time with protocol violations. We're seeing that this week with Dennis Schroeder and the Lakers, right? So all of those things are going to make it even more unpredictable. Going into the bubble, I thought three teams had a chance to win it, the Lakers, the Clippers, and the Bucks, and the Lakers wound up winning. But there were some surprises along the way. I think this upcoming playoffs is going to be full of surprises, twists and turns. I think there's probably seven or eight teams that can win the title this year. And normally I don't say that. Normally I just say stick to the favorites. But this year, with the Lakers kind of you know, slumping right now, with the Nets trying to get Harden back, I do think it's really wide open.
So, Ben, you referenced the Clippers a couple of times. How different is this year's Clippers team compared to last year's team?
Well, they want to be different. You know, new coach, Rondo, you know, some new pieces, but they still suffer from some of the same problems. They got to get downhill. They got to get to the basket. They got to get to the free throw line more. And they got to be better in clutch situations. I mean, these have been problems for them ever since they got Kawhi Leonard and Paul George together. I don't know if you saw the game over the weekend, Jim. Can we talk about Jokic destroying the
yes.
Clippers? I mean, just absolutely pirouetting around them. I came away from that game thinking, not only is Jokic the MVP of this season, I think that's a clear, easy answer, he might be the best player in basketball. I'm not saying he is, but he needs to be in that conversation, and I've never said that before. I mean, to me, it's always been like LeBron, KD, Giannis, at this point, and maybe Steph, if you want to keep him in there. Make sure you're mentioning Jokic's name, too.
I was going to say, what about Steph? Now, and I want to get into this a little bit later on, Ben, but I want your thoughts. Steph has done some pretty amazing things in his career, but have you ever seen him do what he's doing right now?
No, the April was absolutely spectacular, and it's just amazing what he's carrying with that group. For them to basically go 500, and he has by far the best scoring month of his entire career, it just says a lot about what he's working with. I really cannot wait for Klay Thompson to come back, kind of give them a boost. And, you know, I hope that they get aggressive in this summer in terms of trades. They got some draft picks, you know, they potentially got some salaries they could move. I hope they can get him some more help because it's fun to watch him score 40, but it's a lot more fun to watch him score 40 in a win.
Hey, Ben, really quickly, you mentioned Clay. Is there, it's almost impossible to know, and certainly Clay's injuries were different and more significant than even Steph's. Any idea what he might look like when he does come back?
Well, my big concern is defense in terms of his activity level. Clay really liked to get down in a stance and hawk guys. You know, he'd follow them anywhere on the court, try to make their life as difficult as possible in terms of, you know, just on-ball defense. And so from that standpoint, if he can't move as well because of the Achilles, that's really going to slow him down. So that's got me nervous on his behalf for sure.
Hey, Ben, let's look at the bright side. You being a big Marriott points guy, if you're stuck in a hotel, at least you got your points, right?
No points. Not a single point in the whole deal, Jim. And the referees were mad about that, too, by the way.
God, that's got to suck. That's got to be horrible. However, the positive is it's out. You put your nose to the grindstone. You knock that thing out. 5 hours a night. Got the book done. Bubble Ball. It is out today. The author is Ben Golliver. He's a national NBA writer for the Washington Post. Make sure you get his book. Ben, congratulations. I know how hard you hit that thing. It's out. You did it. Great to have you back, Ben. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Jim. Take care, man.
You too. Ben Golliver, good friend of the program. It's an amazing thing. Like, when you have a deal like that, like, he's got a full-time gig, and then you got that side hustle, and a publisher saying, I need this book. I need 90,000 words in 60 days. And he's saying, look, I did what I did all day, every day, and then I started my day at 7 p.m., and I was able to grind that thing out 5 hours every single night and then deliver it on time. Nice job, Ben. Well done. Into hour number two, 1-800-636-8686. We are talking Browns football, America's team. That's coming up next. Don't go anywhere.